Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Here's your host, Neil Solons.
Welcome to our podcast on this Thursday, November 12th. Hopefully you're enjoying the offseason. It's already been an active one for the Rays, and while there are no games, and we've been getting adjusted to that, we already have a trade to talk about, and joining us now is our good friend Andy Freed. Andy, certainly, I'm sure for you it's been a good start to the offseason, and for the Rays, active as well.
Very much. I mean, usually you think of years past, that sort of trade has happened after New Year's. You know, it's something that happens in January or February, but this time the Rays really got going. You know, it leads me to believe all the things that Matt Silverman has said over the years, that a lot of times we don't even realize that talks are ongoing with various clubs. Doors are left open, players have been discussed, and then all of a sudden things come together, and it sounds like this was a relatively small deal to begin with, and it grew and grew and grew. And you know, that's probably trusting your baseball ops and some of your scouts and trying to address needs that you think you do. You know, we left the season thinking, well, the Rays, I don't even ever want to say a surplus of starting pitching, because that can go very quickly, mm-hmm. as we've learned the last 2 years. But they have a good amount of starting pitching. They are very right-handed. They probably could use some left-hand hitting with a little bit of pop, and they're probably going to need a shortstop. And all of that was taken care of, but all of that was seemingly addressed, at least, in that one big trade. I believe in Nate Karns. I think he's a good pitcher that is probably going to get better, but you got to give up something to get something. Logan Morrison, I would have loved to add a couple of years ago. I hope he's still someone that could help out the Rays. I wonder how that affects the James Loney situation at first base. And Brad Miller, looks like we've got a shortstop. You know, it's interesting because for years the Rays were interested in Franklin and Miller. Remember, there was a time mm-hmm. where it looked like they were trying to get one or both, and turns out they've ended up getting both. So we know just from being around it that they've been interested in him for several years. I like the fact that he had a really good stretch last year, but will he be consistent enough to be an everyday shortstop? That all remains to be seen. But you know, Boog Powell would have been interested to see what he could do, if for nothing else, energy-wise. I think this team needs some energy on it. But look, you really do have to give up something to get something, and you never really know about these deals until you look back at them, but I can certainly understand what the Rays were doing, and I like the fact that they're addressing needs that we all seem to recognize once that season ended.
And here's one way I looked at it, Andy, is that if you look at the 2016 roster, if all your starting pitchers are healthy, and certainly we hope so, you've got Archer, Odorizzi, Smiley, Moore, and Erasmo Ramirez as your rotation. Nathan Karns might have begun the year in Triple-A Durham, to be frank, and C.J. Riefenhauser, it was going to be questionable whether they could keep him on the roster, and the same goes for whether they could protect Boog Powell. So three guys who, if everyone's healthy, either in Durham or not on the roster or in the organization, you're able to get value in return and stuff that can maybe help you a great deal in 2016.
Sure, then you look forward to this coming year and you think of Blake Snell, what the potential could be going forward there. You know, it's funny what you said there at the beginning, and I tend to agree with you in being optimistic and say, well, assuming all the pitchers are healthy. I mean, I felt that way for so many years when the Rays were able to avoid major injuries to starting pitchers, but boy, I feel so stung these last couple mm-hmm. of years between Matt Moore and Drew Smiley. Now, both those guys have returned, of course, and Alex Cobb, who we're all going to be, you know, anxiously awaiting the return of at some point in the 2016 season, but maybe really not back to full powers in 2017. It just shows you how fragile pitching is. You know, you go into a, you know, I wonder, Neil, we'll never know, but I'd love to know if the Rays starting pitching would have remained healthy in 2014 or 15, just how different this club would be. But look, we're not immune to it. You know, everybody goes through it at some point. Look what the Cardinals are dealing with now. Suddenly they've lost Lance Lynn for next year, and Carlos Martinez, all those issues going on there, and various other guys. As soon as you think you have enough, you always want to get more. That being said, I think my feelings have evolved a little bit. I've always felt that, or at least learned to feel that, if you have enough pitching and just double and triple and quadruple down on pitching with strong defense, you'll figure out a way to score enough runs. Well, that hasn't been the case anymore. I mean, this team is just in a dearth of scoring runs, and you just a little bit of offense here or there, and the Rays would have had a lot of different results. So I'd love to see them still address more offensively and without losing what they have pitching-wise. I mean, it's such a tough juggling act to do, but But I think we've all learned that this division still is it's going to be a winnable division for 2016. Every year, one team seems to pull away. It was the Blue Jays' turn, and now we've had five division winners in the last 6 years. And you just hope that from a health standpoint, and maybe some of that, the stars could align, and maybe that's what could happen in 2016. I think the Rays are a good representative team right now, but they're going to have some health and a little better offense, I think, for it to move forward to have those quote-unquote stars align.
And offensively, they certainly were better in August and September. I think the question that we're all wondering is, okay, is that sustainable? Is the fact that they were more aggressive mean that this becomes a better offensive club going forward? And then what do they do with some of the pieces? You know, there's talk at the GM meetings, which have just concluded, about do the Rays deal James Loney, Desmond Jennings? Scott Boras says he's healthy, but is he back? And if so, in what capacity for the Rays in 2016? Because his value is diminished, and can you address the catching area?
We can go back to 2011, and every year, if you play back our countdown to opening day shows, we're saying, if Desmond Jennings, if Desmond Jennings, if Desmond Jennings. And he's such a linchpin member of this team. I don't see them getting rid of him because I think he's still not only is a high ceiling potentially for the Rays, and now you've kind of milked him through all of these injuries with the knee and the teeth and all the other things going forward. That all right, now that they've put in all that time, you hope that maybe coming out of the other end of it, he could be that guy again. And if he's never a superstar player, that's one thing. But if he could be a good representative player with a good glove and a good bat, and maybe get some of that daring back with his speed, then it'll be well worth having lost this time to have him back. I'm curious to see Mikey Mantuk. All right, we know that he has shown some power, he's shown some energy and some ability in the outfield. Good things for him to be, but okay, now he had a good month or two. Can he be that guy that can continue to evolve in the major leagues? I mean, Richie Schaefer's a guy that showed lots of flashes, but wow, I mean, that long swing, it really makes you wonder how that's going to play long term. I know when we've talked to Kevin Cash about it, he said, well, think of how far he came last year. This is a guy who's shown he's able to evolve and grow. Now he's going to have to do that in the major league level. So I think there's potential there for offense. You know, you hope Longoria could maybe have a little protection. I'm curious about the whole James Loney situation. So there's still lots of questions to be answered, but I agree with you. Sustainability is a question. How about a guy like Grady Sizemore? I mean, does he come back? He was a pretty important member of this team in 2015. So he's a question, too. So, you know, and the Rays always end up making moves and pickups in January and February. So we've got a long way to go in this offseason.
There's no doubt about that. And, you know, you mentioned energy, and one guy who certainly brought energy and certainly was influenced by Grady Sizemore is Kevin Kiermaier. And it was great to see him. And we'll hear from him later on in the podcast. But for him to win the Gold Glove and get the recognition that we all felt he deserved all the way along.
Yeah, the thing to me that was hurting his chances is that he doesn't have to dive all the time. You know, Pilar, who is a great outfielder, is flying all over the field and diving on turf, and certainly Kiermaier does that sometimes. But if you watch him on a daily basis, he has so many plays that he ends up pulling up for because his jump is just so darn good that he doesn't have to dive. And I think that ends up saving his body a little bit, especially because you play half the games on turf, and he became an everyday player this year. I mean, to watch him back, one of my favorite views is from behind the plate, you know, the camera they have up on the screen at Tropicana Field or wherever we may be, and you see him leaning one way or another when the pitch is coming in, and then he reads the baseball so well off the bat that he gets to top speed so quickly and then closes on the baseball so quickly. I almost find it funny to say that he plays center field. He plays left center to right center. I don't know of an outfielder that has the impact on the game anywhere in baseball that Kevin Kiermaier does. So I thought that he might have been a victim of his own abilities because he doesn't get those highlight plays, but and maybe as many as Pilar. But that being said, he has become a staple in the outfield. I thought one of the interesting quotes I heard was how other teams now really prepare for Kevin Kiermaier in the outfield. And look, when we were in Philadelphia, and I'm forgetting the player, was it Frank? I can't remember who. Somebody went to go first to third on Kiermaier in center field, and he easily threw him out. And I remember the Phillies were furious at that player because they had had a meeting that said, do not run on Kiermaier. And the player just didn't believe it and tried to do it and got thrown out easily. Kiermaier has become the combination of a spectacular player and everyday player, which is, I mean, what more could you want from a center fielder?
And then the thing, and again, our fans will hear from a little bit later on, is he believes there's still a lot of room for growth. And, you know, I think that's the exciting thing about him, is that he can get better offensively, and he even believes he can be a little bit better defensively.
He probably can. I mean, everyone can. I like the fact that he wants to be. I mean, kind of like what you're saying. And that, I think, is from a guy that's had to be a workman-type player all the way up, a low draft pick, that's had to prove every step along the way what he can do. And he still has to prove some things offensively. I actually think he got better against left-handed pitching as the year went along. I think he still should be an everyday player for the Rays, because he's gotten to the point now when he's not in the outfield, the whole game plays differently from the Rays defensively, and this team is so based around defense. So I see him as the everyday center fielder. I'm always worried that he's going to get hurt, because I think he, like Longoria, have such an impact on this team when they're in the field that I'd love to see him continue to make that step offensively. You know, you look at Kevin too, and you get around him, he's a strong kid. You know, the ball will fly off of his bat, and he may not be a 20 home run guy, but I think 10 homers and 15 triples and 35 doubles is very much within his capabilities.
And he's also already working out in Tampa Bay, and hopefully it's to get off to a really good start in 2016. You know, one of the other questions, Andy, that came up this week at the GM meetings, and I'm sure is going to continue to when they have the winter meetings down in Nashville, is do the Rays trade a reliever? They acquired Danny Farquhar. They've got some relievers like a Johnny Venters, who they hope can perhaps impact them in 2016. But do they trade a Boxberger or a McGee to try and address some other needs? I think that's going to be really interesting over the next couple months.
I mean, my sense is I hope not. I mean, you know, the teams that win are the teams that have really solid bullpens. We saw that once again throughout the postseason. You know, wherever the Mets have been without Jurys Familia suddenly becoming the pitcher that he became, even though he blew a couple in the series. But to me, Boxberger and McGee are vital for this team moving forward. Now, look, if they feel like they can get a lion's share back, then it's hard to not make those moves. You know, McGee is inching closer and closer to being less affordable for this team. Boxberger's still under some control, of course, too. But I'd like to see both of those guys in tandem towards the back end of the bullpen. I just want to see them add to that bullpen at this point. Because we went through stretches last year where this team would scrap enough and get, you know, a 4-3 lead, and then when you're not sure about what's going on in the bullpen, that seems so tenuous. So I'd like to see them add to the bullpen, I hope, because I think this team still is close to being, you know, perhaps a championship team again. I'd love to see Boxberger and McGee together in that pen.
And you mentioned the division being one that, you know, it's changed a lot. Well, we know Baltimore is going to change. We would think that Toronto's already undergone a great deal of change, and I just think it's weird watching Mark Shapiro kind of run things with an interim GM who was the assistant, who we don't know if he's going to get the job or not after Alex Anthopoulos departs.
Yeah, and I'm curious, what is Anthopoulos' deal? What does he have up his sleeve? I don't think he would give it up unless he knew something was right around the corner for him. I'm a little confused on that one, but I tend to think that we're going to know the answers to that at some point during this offseason. But I don't quite understand what the Blue Jays are doing with LaCava. I mean, we like you, but we don't like you that much. We don't like you enough to make you GM, but we're going to make you be interim GM. I don't know. I'm not quite sure exactly what they're doing. Something's going on behind the scenes there. I think Anthopoulos did such a great job by evolving as a GM. And, you know, the Blue Jays were always looking forward toward the future, and we're going to get better, and we're going to get better. Well, then they finally decided, and maybe part of that is due to the fact you had a GM in his contract year, said, look, we're going to win now. And look what they did, and they're going to lose. They lost a lot of prospects, and now they're going to lose some of their guys in free agency. But they're still going to be decent. They still could be good. I don't know if the stars are going to align for them next year the way they did this year. It never seems to. Just ask the Orioles. Just ask the Red Sox. I mean, just ask the Rays or the Yankees. That following year is usually very difficult. I like the move the Yankees made, by the way, in getting Aaron Hicks. That's a team that needs to get a spring in their step. I say I like it. I like it from the Yankees standpoint. I don't like it necessarily from the Rays standpoint, because I think it'll make the Yankees better. This is the time of year, too, where rumors are flying. I don't see the Yankees trading Andrew Miller at all. I think that's one of those things just kind of thrown out there. But I see five very active teams this offseason in the American League East.
It's going to be entertaining to watch and to follow, and certainly we'll be addressing it a lot during the offseason. Andy, continue to enjoy the off season, and we appreciate a few minutes.
You as as well. We'll talk soon.
That's Andy Freed joining us on our podcast, and we'll be chatting with him and Dave Wills and Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times from time to time. You know, this week we did have an event, as we mentioned. We got to sit down with Kevin Kiermaier after he won his gold glove, and he let us know what it meant to him.
It's hard to put into words, but this is the coolest award I've ever got my whole life. And, you know, just earning the recognition I have throughout the whole year has been such a cool thing for me. And, you know, gaining respect from my peers and my teammates and the players around the league and coaches and all that is just the coolest thing ever right now. I'm on cloud nine, and my life is very surreal at times, and, you know, I'm in the early stages of my big league career, so all this stuff is new to me, my first Gold Glove Award, and it means the world to me, and I'm just the happiest person ever right now.
When did you find out, and who'd you tell?
I found out roughly October 8th or 9th. I've known for quite a while now. I told both of my brothers, and then I told one of my buddies who was going to come as my plus one to New York. He bailed on me, so I had to tell another buddy. So four people knew about this going into it. And, you know, my mom, we were talking about it, and she said, I don't want to know anything. Just keep it a secret as long as you can. So I was going to tell them, but my mom asked me to keep it a secret, so I did. And there was a lot of playing dumb for a good month because people just kept asking me questions about it. I said, I don't know. You know, even up to this day, people kept asking me today, you going to win? I'm like, I don't know. I hope to hear something here within the next few hours. But, you know, they told me to keep it under wraps and keep it all a secret. So I respected that through MLB and Rawlings. And, you know, they had my word. And so it was very, very low key for a while, but now everyone knows. So I don't have to play dumb anymore.
And that's a good thing. And you mentioned your mom, and I know how important your parents are to you. So do you have a place picked out where the trophy or the Gold Glove Award is going to go? Is it go at your place? Do you get a replica for mom and dad? Do you share it? How's it work?
I still have no information of when I will receive the award or get a replica or any of that. I feel like I want to have it in my parents' possession, so I don't do anything dumb with it. I won't, but I'll probably keep it on me, to be honest, because you know, I might need it for a special occasion or something like that, and it'll be fun just looking at every day. So it'll probably go under my wing, but I haven't received any information on the actual award yet. So we'll see what happens.
Well, hopefully, you win multiple, so you can have one for at least one for your family to have, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping to be in this discussion for many years. So. You know, I think if I stay healthy and just keep handling my business the way I have my whole life, my whole career, I think, you know, that's very, very doable. So just got to make it happen now.
Your favorite plays are which?
My favorite plays are when I robbed Manny Machado home run in Baltimore and then throwing 100 miles per hour versus Miami. The last homestand of the season was really cool because everyone went nuts about it, and my friends back at home loved it. I loved it, and it just feels really good, you know, going the extra mile and making a spectacular play like that, and just warms my heart right up.
I know how driven you are, so what do you do for an encore?
You know, last year in 2014, my rookie year, I said I was going to get better in 2015, and believe it or not, I know I'm going to be better next year. There's still a lot of times this year where I made some errant throws and made some bad decision on diving and throwing the ball to a certain base. And I know that I'm going to improve on that for next year. So now who knows if the defensive run saves and all that other stuff is going to be as good as this year, but I will be more mature out there next year and I will be a better outfielder.
That's our chat with Kevin Kiermaier, and of course you can go to RaysBaseball.com to get a full video look at that interview and much, much more that we have on Kevin and the entire Rays offseason. We've also posted some stuff on our trip to the Arizona Fall League, RaysBaseball.com/prospect spotlight. Now in our future podcast, we'll be taking a look at the 40-man roster. Decisions have to be made in terms of guys to add by November 20th. So we'll look at that in the future. We'll also take a look at what's going on in the final week of the Fall League. The Fall League concludes on November the 21st. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.